Good evening, everybody. Welcome to a very special episode of the Call of Cthulhu Show. Dum, dum, dum! Do not adjust your sets. This is not a drill. We are the D&D show, but today we're playing some Call of Cthulhu. Why not, bitches? Seems like fun.
Hey.
My name's Luke. Normally, I would say I'm your host or your co-host or your dungeon master, games master, GM. But for tonight, I am going to be known as the Keeper.
Keeper.
So before I do the intros for everyone, just a quick explanation of what's going on. So Lisa is still off on family duties as... her family, they're all still suffering with the COVID, and nothing seems to be improving. Her mum and uncle, who live in the same house, have tested positive, as well as her niece, who they care for. So she's still not able to make it. And unfortunately, James also is having technical difficulties tonight, has got no internet or broadband connection, so can't play. So it was like, well, let's just do something completely different. So here we are. This has been knocked up in about 6 hours, with on very little prep. None of us have ever played the game before, so it's going to be interesting. But to fill the gap, you may have noticed a very pretty young lady has come to join us tonight. If everybody could say hello to Emily Keneally?
Try, yeah, pretty much. Hi.
Hello,
yeah,
Emily.
I haven't done it before, so... bear with me, please.
That's fine. Absolutely. You're in good company. So Emily, you've probably heard us talk about before. Emily is Sean's better half, shall we say. How are you, Emily? You all right?
I'm okay. I'm a bit nervous, but I feel like I'm just going to go with it and I'll probably pick it up. Who knows?
I'm sure you'll be fine. The rules, I've flicked through the rule book. It seems pretty simple. And we'll learn together as we go along. But you've never played any role-playing game before, not D&D, nothing?
No, I obviously, like, I know of it, and I've had a character sheet for a D&D character before, but the group I was going to do it with, we never got to play it, so it's been wasted.
Often
it's
the
like
way.
It's, like, always the case,
yeah,
isn't it?
Often yeah. The way. It took me years of like, I used to play as a kid with my dad and some friends and stuff as a teenager, but throughout my 20s, didn't play, and then when I kind of became an old man and sort of like past few years, I was like, I really want to play, and it took me ages to, and in the end I just found a bunch of random strangers and started playing, and that's kind of how I got back into it, really. So yeah, excellent. So we'll try our best to kind of walk each other through it. Otherwise we still have the one and only, the wonderful, the bearded menace, Gavin Bourne. How are you today?
Yeah, good mate, good.
How's that wine sitting on you?
Yeah, bottle down. I should be fine. Hopefully.
It's that too confident.
Sound like we're just about to nod off.
I've been to work all week. We're reopening on Thursday. So, yeah, the Mushroom Exhibition will be open on Thursday.
So anyone,
get your tickets. it's going fine. It's ridiculous. I mean, who wants to go see it?
Is it like an art? Is there an artist that has made it?
Well,
or is it just
collection
of?
It's a collection of mushroom, mushroom themed art and design, and basically, I mean, there's some interesting bits. There's like Beatrix Potter's original drawings of mushrooms, which I thought was quite cute. I was like, that's quite cool. A cool little thing. But yeah, the rest of it, you could probably walk around the whole thing in about 10 minutes. Put it that way. But
right, okay.
But they're opening it, and yeah.
That's pretty much how I felt when I went to the Tate Modern. I walked around it in 10 minutes, went to this fucking shit, and then left.
Oh,
I know, I quite like Tate Modern.
The world.
I quite enjoy Tate Modern.
We went on a, what's the word, like a trip, not a school trip. I was at college doing media production, right?
Yeah.
So like a field trip, I suppose. And we went to the Tate Modern, and I'm like, but what is this? What has this got to do with film and radio, which is, you know, film and radio production is what we were doing.
There's not much, that sort of thing in there. You can find the odd gem.
Yeah.
I have to like art museums because my wife's an art teacher, so...
You have to, it's the law.
Oh, yeah.
You've got to. It's the law.
The best thing I see in there was... It was just it was a video, and it's still the best exhibition I've seen ever, let alone in the Tate. It was just a video on loop of a man standing in a shower, completely Billy Bollocks, holding
like
a big sausage in one hand, and pouring ketchup on his penis. Yeah. And I mean, if
sounds
that's
like
not
an average weekend.
Wow.
Basically.
No, if that's not, you know, worth a trip, then I don't know what is.
Exactly. And I suppose last but by no means least, then we have Sean, who likes to go and look at pieces of art of people pouring ketchup on their willy.
Weird art. love a bit of weird art.
Sean Francis.
And it's still better than any film I've made.
Well, so. You had a good week then, Sean?
Yeah, it's been all right. I had a switch off of all like devices and just we went over a park for a bit, didn't we?
We did.
Crazy. We went outside and everything.
Sounds good. So is that why we haven't had a podcast release this week?
Yeah, sorry about that. It was either podcast or mental breakdown. And I was like,
it's fine. We all need time to kind of recharge the batteries, relax, and remind us what's important, you know, family and stuff. So it's all cool, man.
You just end up, because there is nothing to do, most of it happens on a screen now. So it's, you know.
100%. I'll go and stir crazy. Like, kids are at home. We didn't bother sending them back to school, but if we had, they'd be finishing for summer this week anyway.
Yeah.
So, like, we're constantly on screens. Kids have constantly got the TV on kids' channels or on computer games, or they've got their tablets or they've got their Switch. And it's like, and I'm just constantly saying to my wife, I'm just bored and fed up, like, because they go to bed, by the time they're in bed at like 8 o'clock at night, and then we're just worn out and tired, and we feel like we've got an hour or two to ourselves before going to bed ourselves. And it's stir crazy. We've been looking at the possibility of going away for our anniversary at the end of August, our wedding anniversary, but I don't know if it will happen or not. It would just be like a UK break if it does, but
yeah,
it's just, even that, you know, what could really just do with. Because even when we do go out, we still got the kids, man. Even when we go,
following us around.
Yeah, we go out.
Can't get rid of them.
We can't.
God damn it!
We do go out.
Like, and everything.
Yeah, I know. We go out every day to a park, or we go to a local forest, and we walk the dog. And every day we're going out and get. But it's just still like we just really need a break and some solid grown up time to recharge. You know,
watch Game of Thrones.
You know what happens when you have grown up time, though?
Yeah, all too well.
You get more of them.
More kids.
It's a vicious cycle.
Yeah. But yeah, otherwise, yeah, my week's been pretty straightforward, pretty boring, nothing really exciting going on. So we'll get right kind of to it in a moment. Want to do just a couple of shout outs. I do like to kind of do some recommendations of things I've discovered. So recently, past week or so, I've been listening to, well, I constantly listen to podcasts, but I've been listening to a couple of new British D&D podcasts, which I recommend people check out. So one is called Roll Britannia. They're pretty new. They started around the same time that we did. They've got about 10 episodes. They've been going for a couple of months. They're really funny. Don't take the game seriously. Like us, didn't really know how to play the game. And it's very narrative-based. And great group of lads. I've been chatting to them a lot on Twitter as well. Another one that I've been listening to, the Billowing Hilltop. They're another British baser, but years and years of experience. I think they're bragging. One of their players keeps on bragging how he's got like 41 years of D&D experience. But they're really funny guys. We started talking on a post on Twitter about another podcast, which is a really, really famous one called the Glass Cannon Podwork. And he was like, oh, yeah, that's what got us into podcasting. And I was like, yeah, kind of same. Definitely one of my biggest inspirations. And we started chatting, and we talk a lot now, like DMs and stuff as well. I even approached him today actually to see if he wanted to join us tonight on stream to fill the seats, but he had other commitments. So I would highly recommend you check them two out. Also, in regards to Call of Cthulhu, as I said, I've been sweating bricks all day in regards to what I'm going to do, how am I going to run this, and there's another really famous, really good podcast out there called How We Roll, and they play mostly Call of Cthulhu, and I listened to them before and then went away and listened to some other stuff, and I've gone back to them just today for some inspiration. And I messaged them and it's like, look, I'm doing this tonight, you've got any tips? And they invited me to join their Discord server, and I've been chatting to people in their Discord server, say, giving me loads of advice and tips on how to run this and stuff. So I just want to say a massive thank you to How We Roll podcast, and also the people in their Discord chat server who will probably never hear this message, but thank you very, very much. Otherwise, that's largely me done for the day. So what we're going to do, so we're going to start a brand new game. None of us have played it. Call of Cthulhu. It's the 7th edition, and we're going to be running the Quick Start Rules, which is available on Roll20 for free. And it's a short adventure, they say, can be done between like 3 and 6 hours. So it might take us, we won't get it done today, and hopefully we'll get another session to finish this another time. But yeah, if anyone's interested, it's available for free on Roll20 to download. And actually, the adventure itself is also available from the company's website, Chaosium or something like that, it's called. And you can download the module and the free rules from there as well if you're interested. And we're just going to see how we go. So we're going to strip it right back from the very beginning. We're going to start off talking about the game. We're going to build some characters together. Work out your backgrounds, how your characters know each other, what you're doing, what your professions are, and go from there, really. So let's get started. So has anybody had any thoughts kind of what they're going to be doing? So the game is set in 1920s Boston, America. The basic premise is you're going to be hired to investigate an old house in 1920s Boston, and rumour has it that it may be haunted. That's the brief. And from there, you're then going to think about what kind of character you want to be. So, like I said in our private chat earlier on today, you can do anything. You can be any profession that you can possibly dream of that might have existed in 1920s. So it's very real. There's no restriction to classes. You know, there's no elves, no half-orcs, no wizards or rogues or druids. It's, you know, what would you want to play? So, like, you could go for a traditional film noir private eye, an ex-police detective. You could be a soldier, a priest. You know, they're the kind of con ones. You could be someone who's knows a bit of knowledge about occult lore, like some kind of university scholar or, you know, professor or something like that. But you could be a child if you want to be. You could be a high school student or something like that. So I would say that's probably the best place for everybody to start. Now, Sean, you're already quite excited by the idea of being a PI. So I'm assuming you've got you know, what I'd like to say is that this is how we're going to create a background story of how you guys know each other. So maybe you're an ex-police chief or an ex-journalist or photographer, you know, for the newspaper, but for whatever's happened, you're no longer doing that. And now you will work with Sean's character in his own personal private eye department. That's kind of a possibility, you know. So are you going to go with the PI, Sean?
Yes, yeah. I'm going to go with Private Eye Dick Casey. I think I want to go with that just because it, there's a few mechanisms of that sort of character that could be fun.
Yeah, so we'll go through the mechanics of that, what skill set you would have training in and stuff in a bit. What about, sorry, Gavin, I feel like I'm always actually leaving you to last, but let's go with the new girl on the street, Emily. What about you? Have you had some time to think about this today? You could be like an actor or something like that, or, you know, close to home. Or
yeah, I was thinking maybe like an actor. But now I'm thinking just maybe like just a standard just English teacher. I think I'm going for that instead.
Like a high school teacher or more like an English lit kind of professor?
I think just a high school teacher, just a standard English teacher.
Easy, we can come back to that. And then Gavin, what about yourself, mate?
I was thinking journalist.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, cool. So kind of like a
alcoholic journalist. Like Dave Pisswinkle.
Dave Pisswinkle.
That's his name.
Got that already. I'm going to write that down.
That's already my favourite.
Dave Pisswinkle.
Cool. So would you be like a current journalist? Would you be like a reporter? Would you be the photographer?
Washed up. So yeah, he's done his dues, but yeah, he's had his day, but he's still trying to get the scoop.
So why are you washed up? Did you work for one of the major kind of papers, or perhaps like you were one of those, you know, like in Men in Black, like the papers that no one takes seriously because you report on strange things?
Yeah, the World News or whatever it's called.
For the World News, I'm going to write all this down.
And it was all, obviously the World News, like prints all those bullshit. Oh yeah, my neighbour's dog was kidnapped by aliens.
Yeah.
But I know the truth's out there. But exactly. Obviously, I'm an alcoholic.
And so you're looking for the proof.
But everyone thinks I am crazy.
Cool. That's a good place to start. So we've
got not at the bottom of a bottle. That's all.
Yeah,
I'm
exactly.
Saying.
Yeah.
Pisswinkle. Right.
So, Gavin, straight in there. We've got a profession and we've got a bit of small background. So let's go to Sean, because we didn't really discuss you. So Sean, have you got a name?
Yeah. So it's Dick Casey.
Okay.
Private Eye was a member of the police force. But yeah, similar sort of thing, you know. He seemed to be really good at his job, and a bit like in Hot Fuzz, you know. He's good at his job, so he gets thrust out to the country because he's making everyone else look bad, you know.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
So he had to start his own firm. of private investigation.
So would you have been like an ex-Bobby on the street, or would you be like an ex-detective?
Ex-detective. And yeah, so he knows the tools of the trade, but he's had to go. And times are tough. There's not much work coming in.
Are you still a policeman, or have you been? Have you quit, or have you? Were you fired?
He's been outed. Yeah, he did. I think he was. He has a few strange quirks, and that with him being good at his job, he was kind of shunned by people.
Shunned. So you were disgraced.
Yeah.
Why were you disgraced?
Well, he annoyed a lot of people. One, because he was showing them up at work and, you know, did you know that window was broken from the inside? And everyone's like, oh, fucking hell, you know. But also he has this terrible habit of, you can't really have a conversation with him. He tends to just monologue. And he seems to do it under some very soft jazz. And it's really fucking annoying.
slow saxophone, yeah.
Yeah, you know, just every time he speaks, he talks to himself and not anyone else in the room, you know?
Okay.
So he pissed a lot of people off at work.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Amazing.
I think he's a New York.
Yeah.
New York detective.
So you've gone from New York to Boston because to get away from your past.
He loves colleges, yeah.
Cool. He loves colleges and the teachers there.
There we go.
Okay, brilliant. Emily, then. So an English high school teacher. Do you have a name?
Yes, I've called her Dorothy Bridge.
Lovely.
I was kind of thinking that maybe she was like, she always wanted to be on the stage, but it was a big no-no for the family. So she sort of got stuck and then just became an English teacher, and that's all she knows now.
So you've got some kind of like amateur theatrics background.
Yeah, I think so. She can be a bit dramatic, I think.
Okay.
I don't know what that laugh was for.
No, nothing, dear.
All right. Are you still a teacher, or have you given that up? You know, what's brought you to be an investigator?
I think she's still a teacher, but I feel like she's got caught in something, maybe, and she's just followed herself down this path and is now like, oh, this is quite interesting. I think she's fallen into it and didn't even realise.
All right, cool. So we can work on all of that. We've got a good start already. Fantastic. So what we're going to do now is look at your character sheets. So if we go with ladies first, I suppose, and Sean, like, just follow along, basically,
yeah,
in the background. So you should have access to in your journal of the Creating an Investigator tab. So the game works kind of similar to D&D in that you've got attributes, which they're called characteristics. So you've got your strength, which measures the raw physical power your investigator can bring to bear. Constitution, which is a measure of the health and hardiness of your investigator. Power, which is a combination of force of will, spirit, and mental stability. Dexterity is a measure of your investigator's physical agility and speed. Appearance measures the physical appeal of your character, so that's basically how attractive or fit you are. Size reflects your investigator's combined height and weight. Intelligence is a rough measure of your investigator's cunning and ability to make leaps of logic and intuition. And then education is a measure of the knowledge that your investigator has accumulated through formal education or the venerated school of hard knocks, it says. All right. Mm-hmm. So what you need to do is assign values to those skills on your sheet. You've got from highest to lowest, pick one that you want to put an 80 in. That's the highest you can choose. So, what do you want to be your best characteristic?
I'm going to go for that.
That's fine. You just fill that in. And then the next one you want to do is a 70. So then you fill the next one in for your 70. Once you've done that, you can pick two for 60. So you can put 60 into two of them. And then you can put 50 into three of them. And then once you've done that, you can put 40 into the last one.
And 40 in the others?
Just the last one. So there's
one more.
Yeah, so there's 8 in total.
80, 70, 60, 40, and 50. Yep, got you.
So you should have all 8 filled in. On your character sheet, as you go along that line, the last one is luck. We'll come to that later. All right. So have you all done that?
Oh, I've got one too many.
Yes. Okay, dokie.
Cool. So talk us through your washed-up journalist thing, Gavin. What have you gone for? What's your best stat?
Intelligence.
Excellent. And your worst?
My worst is my 40, which is appearance, because he's a washed-up, scraggly bastard.
Okay, that's fine. That makes sense. We're not going to go through this word for word. And Emily, your teacher? Highest?
Right. I think I've done this right. I've put education as 80.
Yeah, brilliant. And what's your lowest?
Strength.
Makes sense, okay. English teachers, not really...
Yeah.
Yeah, makes sense.
yeah, and... Mr. McDonald was a weakling.
And then Sean, Dick Casey.
Dick Casey. It's quite similar to Gavin. I've got intelligence at 80.
Yep.
And then I've ended up appearance at 40 just through denomination, really.
Right.
So it turns out he's a bit of an ugly fucker as well.
Yeah, that's all right.
So yeah.
Okay, cool. So basically, anytime you want to do anything, well, you know, it comes to skills later on, but you'll roll a D100, and if you want to do something, you need to roll under your score. So let's just say, for example, if you're doing a straight up intelligence roll, to succeed at that, you need to roll under an 80. That's a standard success. But then sometimes something might be a bit more difficult, and you'll need to do what's called a hard success, in which case you'll need to roll under half, which means, so for a hard success, you'll need to roll under 40. And then some things are very hard, difficult, and you'll need what's called an extreme success, which means you'll need to roll under 1/5 of that. So what you might want to do on your character sheet is just write those numbers down, or not on your character sheet, on your pad. You just write them down at the top, and then just work that out so that you know what they are for later in case they come up. That's fine. So yeah, so if you've got a 50, half of that is 25, and then a fifth of 50 is 10.
How do you even work out a fifth?
Just divide it by five.
Oh, yeah, divide it by five, of course.
This is what happens when you go to score at Warren.
This, exactly.
You got all them?
Yeah. I'm working on it.
Okay.
Finish there.
Right. Yeah. So now what we're going to do is work out your secondary attributes. So these are luck, your magic points, which I don't think are going to come into this game at all. And then the last one is your damage bonus and build, which we'll come to in a minute. So, luck, what you need to do is roll
3d6.
Okay. So, Emily, you can do that in the chat box, or you can do it with the tool that we showed you earlier on. If you type, just remember those numbers, lads, and we'll come back to it. So, Emily, if you type into the chat box / roll /
3d6. 3d6.
And that should come up with a number.
Yes.
You've done 2d4.
I thought. Oh no! Wait,
close enough, Bo.
that's a good, good. So try that again.
Wait, do that again. Because it's saying I've got 3d6 on here.
Yeah. So type in / roll.
Yeah. 3d6. Yes, that probably would have done it. I promise I did.
Yeah, you have done it. So you've got 13, which is brilliant. Okay. Now what you need to do with that is another little tiny bit of maths, which is you multiply that number by 5. So 13 times 5, 65. So put that into your luck box and press enter.
Oh, okay. 5, 3, and 3 times it by 5. That's 11. That's 55.
I rolled shit.
Okay. Magic. So magic points, all right, which we will fill out just for completion's sake. Magic points are equal to 1/5 of your POW, or your power, okay, and are used when casting spells, powering arcane devices, and magical effects. Magic points that are spent regenerate naturally at a rate of 1 point per hour. Once an individual is out of magic points, any further expenditure is deducted directly from your hit points. Any such loss manifesting as physical damage in a form chosen by the keeper, me. So we're not going to use this today because you won't know any spells because you're new to the world of the occult. But if we ever come back to this world later, then perhaps it might come up. But again, just for the sake of it, you take your power. So whatever you put into your power, divide that by 5. That's your magic points.
Cool.
Right.
Yeah, we're good.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What you want to do on your character sheet is just have a look underneath these stats, and you'll see a bar that says skills, combat, backstory, spells, possessions.
Yes.
And you should see in there that this bit has been done automatically for you. Okay, so basically your damage bonus and your build. So what it does is it calculates your strength plus your size, and it tells you what your damage bonus is and your build. So damage bonus is how much extra damage your investigator does with a successful close combat attack, and build is a scale of combined size and strength, but it does it for you automatically. Okay, so depending on that, you'll have build and a number, and then damage bonus and a dice in there, maybe, or maybe you might say none, or it might say a negative number. So if you're really small and weak, you might do -1 damage, or if you're bigger and stronger, you might do a d4 damage.
Fine, yeah.
Got it. The next part is your hit points and your sanity.
Yep.
Okay. Cool. So your hit points are figured out by adding your size and your constitution together. Once you've done that, you then divide that by 10. 10 for Dick Casey, 11 for Dave Pisswinkle, and how many for Dorothy Bridge?
So my constitution is 50.
And your size?
50.
So 50 at 50 is 100, divide by 10 is 10. And then the last thing to look at is your sanity. So sanity is a measure of how sane you are. The higher, the better. As it gets reduced throughout the game, when you experience moments of horror, that will get spent. If it gets reduced by too much in one go, or if it gets reduced all the way down to like zero, you basically can have bouts of madness, or you can go insane, you can get like phobias and things like that as the game goes on. This is just equal to your power score. So whatever your power is what your sanity is. I'm not sure if that automatically is populated for you. If you need to type it in, I don't know.
So what is it? I've got like 2 bars. Yeah. That's the thing.
So what, you put 50 and then 50?
Yeah, so one will be so it's like 6, it'll be like 50 out of 50. So 50 will be your maximum, and then as you lose it, it goes down. But then through like in-game rest and things like that, or visiting a sanitarium and like committing yourself, you can get it to, with therapy, to go back up and stuff like that. Okay.
Okie dokie.
Makey sense.
So basically it says in the book here, this score is used as a percentile roll that presents your investigator's ability to remain stoic in the face of horrors. As you encounter the monstrosities of the Cthulhu mythos, your sanity score fluctuates. Okay, so now we're going to look at your skills. Okay, so if you scroll down your character sheet, under the skills tab, you've got the list of all the different skills. You've got some general skills, art and craft skills, firearm skills, science skills, language skills, all the different types of skills. What you need to do now is work out what your profession, what, I think it's 8 skills, your profession would have, basically. So what 8 skills represent a private eye or a detective, what 8 skills represent a journalist, and what 8 skills would represent an English teacher.
Do I have to add any number there? Or
not
just...
yet, we'll come to that. Now, if you open up the box in your journal for creating an investigator, they're all here, so you could all do this without me telling you. Yeah? So they're all there. So journalist is photography, history, library use, own language, 1 interpersonal skill, which can be either charm, fast talk, intimidate or persuasion, then psychology, and then you can just pick any other 2 skills that you want as a journalist.
So I've got on firearm skill 1, it's got a 10 in the box. So you handgun, chain, it's got 20.
Don't worry about those numbers.
That's okay.
Okay. Mark the little dots, and we'll come back to them in a second. All right. So did you go for police detective or the investigator one, Sean?
Yeah, I've got a mix of both. But they're pretty much the same.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter. These are just example skills. So if we're going off the police detective, then you would have art and craft, which is acting, or disguise, one of the 2.
Yep.
Then you'd have firearms, law, listen, 1 interpersonal skill between either charm, fast talk, intimidate, or persuade. Then you'd have psychology, spot hidden, or any other skill. Spot hidden is kind of like, in D&D terms, that's your perception role, like finding stuff.
Okie doke.
And then if you've gone for Professor Emily, you'd have library use, and other language, so you can choose what language you want to have. Then you'd have your own language, so English, I suppose, psychology, and then as a professor, you get to just choose any other 4 skills that you like, and you'd put a little dot in all of those, yeah?
Okay.
So now we assign, like we did with your characteristics, we assign a skill level to those. So for these skills now that you've ticked, ignore the number that's in the box and replace it with one of the following numbers. So basically, pick the one that you want to be the best at and type 70 into the value. Then you pick the next two that you want to have 60 in.
Oh, I don't know if I'm doing this right.
And then once you've done that, you then pick three of those skills and you can put 50 in those three.
Okay.
Three at 40. And you should have there 7, 8, 9. So you should have 9 values. So one of those values you put into the credit score. So you've got your 8 skills and then whatever, and then you can also put credit score in. So if you want to be rich, put a high value in there, or you can put a lower value into credit score. But you've got 9 scores and 8 skills plus credit score.
Okay.
Credit rating, sorry, it's called.
260s, 178. Oh. Fuck. Right.
It's stressful, isn't it?
Four. I've got 450s. I shouldn't have 450s. Fuck's sake.
You should have 3, but you might find, I don't know, looking at the character sheet, there might be one that was already set at 50.
One.
I think I've done it right, and if I've done that right, I'm genuinely going to be so proud of myself.
Good. Golden Girl, new in here and showing them how it's done.
Oh, God. Right, hang on. Let me just double check real quick.
All right, 50. Right, done.
I don't think I'm done, but...
There's that bottle of wine that you had before the show.
Yeah, that might help.
Have we got anyone listening?
One, two.
We do actually have 10 people in the stream.
Oh shit! What I'm saying?
6, 7.
Yeah,
I've done that now.
Yes, I think so.
So that's your occupation skills that you get as part of your professional background. Next, you get to choose your personal interest skills. So these are skills that your character has acquired outside of work. So you can now just pick any 4 skills that you like that are non-occupation skills. So any 4 that you haven't just done. And then just add 20 to the number that's already there. Perhaps, like, for example, Gavin, you've been chucked out of the newspaper for writing about occult stuff. So perhaps you might want to add 20 to your occult. So the last thing that we do then would be look at your backstories and make some final touches. Backstory, take one last look at the skills and characteristics that you selected. With a dash of imagination, you begin to get an idea of who this character is. You might want to add notes on your investigator's background and personality as you decide them. Who is she really? Where did he grow up? What is her family like? The more time you spend thinking about your character, the more developed his or her personality becomes, then the more fun you'll have when playing Call of Cthulhu. But we can kind of fill that in. We're just going to improv it as we go. And then the final touches, you now have something that looks like a finished character. Go back to the top of the investigator sheet to make sure you have written down your character's name, your sex and age, and have all the other information filled in. For example, write down any standard equipment the character might have associated with their occupation. Again, with equipment, which is under the possessions tab, there's nothing in there. As the game develops, if you need something, we'll decide then and there on the spot whether it's reasonable that your character would have it. But that's it. That's your character done.
Awesome.
1 hour later.
It'll take 5 minutes.
It should have took 5 minutes.
But when you're doing it for 3 people, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, to be fair, yeah. All right. Okay. So the rest of the rules and stuff we can look at as and when they come up. All right, but basically with your skills, as we discussed it off stream earlier on, a little bit with the half and the fifth value, the basic premise of the game, let me load up one of your character sheets for people to look at. Let's have a look at Gavin's. So Gavin's character sheet, if we now look at your skills I've got in front of me, psychology is the first one that my eyes saw, which is a score of 40. If an opportunity comes up where you need to use that skill to make a check, depending on its difficulty, you roll your D100 and you have to roll less than that number to succeed. So you need to roll 30, under 40, basically. Okay. If you roll under 20, then that's what's called a hard success, which is a good success. And then if you were to roll under 8, that would be classed as an extreme success, and that means you've smashed it. It's like a critical success. Okay, so in most of those kind of things, just a success is just a success, but they may be like in combat, the lower you roll, the better, because how combat works in this, which you want to try to avoid, okay, it's a very deadly game. This is not D&D. You don't want to be swinging attacks to and fro. You know, like, you could die in sort of like one hit and stuff in this game. But if you do get involved in like a barroom brawl or something, when you make an attack, you then compare that to somebody's dodge. So if I was to roll an attack against Gavin's character, because again, it's in front of me, he would roll a dodge against it. So you would need to roll under 30 to dodge my attack. So I would roll under my NPC or monster's attack skill to succeed. And then if I succeed, you would roll under your dodge to see if you can dodge it. And then we compare the two rolls and who rolled better to see whether we hit, basically, or whether you dodge. Another great thing with this around combat, let me actually load that rule book up, actually, because that might be interesting just to look at very quickly, is what it says in the combat. When you are confronted with the horror of the mythos, it is generally a better idea to run away or avoid confrontation altogether. However, there is often no other choice than to go in guns blazing and make the best of it. When a combat occurs, all investigators, so you do initiative using your dex scores, we'll skip over that until it comes up. The duration of a combat round, unlike in D&D, which is just 6 seconds, it's long enough for everyone to take one significant action. The flow of the round is controlled by me, the keeper, and hard and fast rules for movement and actions are not part of the game. The keeper should simply give everyone a chance to do something quickly while being aware of the narrative flow. So it's all about the story that we're creating in this game.
Okay.
So you've got 3 fighting skills, fighting, dodge, and firearms. 2 of these skills are made up of multiple specializations, such as fighting, brawl, or firearms, rifle, shotgun. You will have decided which specializations your investigator has, if any, during the character creation. So the other thing to go through is luck rolls, very quickly. So again, you should be able to see all this stuff yourself in the journal. So luck rolls may be called for by the keeper when circumstances external to an investigator are in question, and also when determining the fickle hand of fate. If, for example, an investigator wants to know if there is an item lying nearby that they could use as a weapon, or if the flashlight they have found has any juice left in it, then call for a luck roll. The example it gives is, says here, example, finding a cab doesn't require a dice roll, but getting one before the investigators lose sight of the car that they wish to pursue could.
Okay.
Yeah. Other thing that I found through the Discord group for how we roll today is another thing that can be useful, which is not in the quick start rules, but apparently it's in the main rules, is you can choose to use 5 of your luck points to turn that failure into a success, into a succeed roll instead. The only time you can't do that is if you do what's called a fumble, which is like a critical fail, which basically means if when you roll, I think it's between 96 and 100, it's just a complete failure. There's nothing you can do to turn that round, and the consequences of that fail become a little bit worse. Another thing that you can do is called pushing a roll. So let's again say that you, doing your spot hidden roll, you need to get under that 25, but you roll 40 something. You can ask to push the roll, which means you can ask to re-roll it. If you fail it the second time, the consequences will be severe. Okay. The only time you can't use that is in combat, or if you do that fumble, that critical fail. So if you roll over a 96, then it's just so fucked up you can't push it.
Okay. Cool. I'm trying to sort of relate it to D&D as we go.
Yeah,
just to get...
same. Same. But otherwise, it's really simple. It's just those 2 dice. It's just that D100, and it's just roll lower than your skill value. It's really simple. Let's have a look then at the introduction. So we did already kind of go a little bit through everybody's characters earlier on. So we've got Dave Pisswinkle, a washed up journalist from the World News, a kind of shit supernatural rag you'd find on a newsstand on a corner about cats being abducted by aliens that nobody believes, apart from the MIB, who of course will go and check them out for their latest news. We've got Dick Casey, an ex-detective who's moved from New York as he was fired or disgraced. He thinks it's because he was just too good and they were trying to get rid of him. Maybe he was onto something, got a bit too close to something, and they fired him for it. Now he's living in Boston as a private detective. And then we've got Dorothy Bridge, a high school English teacher, had dreams and aspirations of making it big in Hollywood. They washed out. And now she lives in Boston, teaching children cretins. Those that can do and those that can't teach, as they say.
Have you noticed everyone's name begins with D?
D, triple D.
D&D show.
D&D show.
Finally, we figured it out.
Boom.
Okay. So the final question is, tying your backstory together, how do you know each other?
Well, I guess I know Dick from the old police days where used to pump him for information.
Maybe they clashed a little bit. Journalists trying to dig for information that hasn't been released yet. He does things by the book, does Dick.
And Dave just goes in and tries to find it. You're my informant.
Or we could even do that.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why I was fired, because I used to inform journalists to make a bit of extra
there
side.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. How do we know an English teacher?
I'm trying to put two and two together. I have no idea.
I think I could have.
One of the kids from the school that Dorothy teaches went missing and was murdered, and you were chief guy on the case.
And you couldn't solve it. Yes.
Bosh.
Hit the nail on the head. Perfect.
Maybe you had figured it out, and I was like, don't tell me how to do my job.
Yeah, maybe.
Oof. Maybe you had figured it, and I wouldn't listen to you.
Oh, wait. Me or Gavin, who sorted it? Who figured it out?
I don't think anyone's figured out who killed who, but
a little Johnny Red Hat.
Yeah, this is what's been tormenting Dick for his entire life.
It's the one case he couldn't solve.
Oh dear God!
God damn that Johnny Red Hat.
Sounds good. So, can I have everybody's appearance rating?
Oh, where did I put that? That would be better.
On your character sheet?
40.
I think I've got 40. I've got 40 as well, yeah.
40.
Oh, I was being ambitious.
What do you have?
60.
60. And then everybody just picked 40 for your credit rating.
Yeah.
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah.
So I've got that in case I need that later. And I've got your notable things for your backstory. So I can now close that box. Don't need that anymore. Mm-hmm. Are we? And I can close down that one as well. Are we ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Suspense music. Dum dum bum 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 bum. Crash of lightning. And then like suddenly the organ smacks like. A landlord, Mr. Knott, asked you to examine an old house in central Boston known as the Corbett House. The former tenants, the Macario family, were involved in a tragedy, and the owner wishes to understand the mysterious happenings at the house and set matters straight. Mr. Knott has been unable to rent the house out since the tragedy and hopes that you can clear things up and restore its good name. He offers to reimburse you for your time and trouble. The landlord gives you the keys, the address, and $25 cash in advance. Knowing your jobs, you will want to conduct some research before you head to the house. Perhaps you could check out old newspaper articles at the offices of the Boston Globe. Head to the Central Library, or maybe go to the Hall of Records. The choice is yours. Mr. Knott is the landlord. He approaches your private eye kind of office. What does that kind of office look like then, Dick Casey?
Well, it's all black and white. It's a very, very monochrome design. There's very, very dim light breaking in through the window. There's smoke plumes through the air. It's not looked after. It's, you know, he comes in here to think things over. It's not a particularly well kept office. It's a necessity. Windows onto a busy, you know, you can hear the traffic honking outside, and that typical private eye office. One dull bulb illuminating the room. And a bottle of whiskey.
Would Dave Pisswinkle and Dorothy Bridge, would they be there as well? Would it be a case of like you're working all together now on the side? Perhaps you're still unofficially now going over all the notes from this old murder mystery case that was unsolved, and so perhaps you meet up on Tuesday evenings to go over things.
I would have invited What's Pisswinkle's first name?
Dave.
It's one of the D's.
I think Davey P, Pisswinkle, and Pisswinkle and Casey would be probably hashing it out.
Exactly.
I'm not entirely sure how we get Missy involved.
Well, maybe like the police failed the case, so she's actually hired you to take care of for this other case.
Yeah.
But she's helping you with the investigation as well, because she wants to be more than just an English teacher.
Yes.
Not that there's anything wrong with being just an English teacher, you're excited by the thrill of being out in the dark and solving mysteries, and it's almost fulfilling that kind of dream that you had to be on the stage when you were younger.
Yeah.
So there's a knock on your door.
Come in. I said come in, goddammit.
So the door opens and in steps Mr. Knott. American 1920s landlord. I don't know what people dressed like back then. Some kind of zoot suit or something. I don't know. Kind of trilby hat steps in. And it's like, hi. Is this the Triple D Detective Agency?
What do you see? What do you got, huh? Come in. Take a seat.
Thank you. A colleague of mine recommended your services. My name's Mr. Harold Knott. Recently acquired the deeds to a property that I was hoping I would be able to rent out and add it to my other properties and as we landlords do, rip off the poor extortionate rent prices and live like millionaires. But unfortunately, the family that I put in there, the Macario family, I had great difficulty renting out at first. Nobody would touch it. I thought it was strange that I got such a cheap deal at the auction house, but rumours about ghosts and it being haunted, but hogwash, just don't believe in that stuff. Finally, Italian family moved to town looking for somewhere to live, and they took the rent for the place. They were called, whatever I said before in the exposition,
Macario family.
Yeah, the old Macario family.
But, they can't have been there much more than a month, and strangest, most peculiar thing ever happened, they've, for one reason or another, Mr. Macario, Mrs. Macario, and their two sweet little children, they've all been committed to an insane asylum, and they're being treated. Mr. Macario is, from what I understand of it, in a comatose state, and she's mad as a doorknob, and the children are just, they're silent. I believe that they were taken off and are now staying with family out of town. But, I need to know what I've got myself in for. And I heard that you'd be the man to come to. And men and women, ma'am. What do you say? You interested in the job?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Excuse me. Up, God.
I thought we were interested. Have you checked the pipes for lead?
The house was fairly run down when I took it on last year, and I had some contractors go in, do some basic renovations, slap a paint here and polish the floors, did it up, and they all claim everything was fine, but I suppose it's the strangest thing.
So tell me, who did you buy the house off of?
I got it through auction.
Ah, was it anonymous? Anonymous. No matter how hard I tried, I couldn't say the word anonymous.
No, it was, it was reclaimed by the state and auctioned off. It's been empty for years. Odd little neighborhood, not much around there now, mostly factories, warehouses, and this house is all kind of there. And got a steal for it, right bargain.
Do you have any information on the family? Before you sold them the house, you know much about their background?
You'd think I might, wouldn't you?
you got it in your little journal there somewhere.
I might have somewhere. Let me just have a look for my notes here and see what we can come up with. Let's have a look. I'm looking at the introduction, and there's nothing in there. As I say, there is a Vittorio Macario.
That's easy for you to say.
quite mad. Last I heard, he was comatose. And then there is his wife, Gabriella Macario. Again, she was a gibbering wreck when the police found her, and the two young Macario boys, like I said, they're being cared for relatives now in Baltimore, and a bit of a drive if you ever want to speak to them. I suppose you could, but no, I don't know much. You know, this is 1920s. I don't really go for background checks of the CCB and stuff. You know, just...
So what exactly were these stories that you heard before?
Not much, really. People hearing odd sounds, shadows in the dark. Nobody could. I said nobody would touch the place. No one would buy it up. Its last owner was a. I've lost the accent and I've gone. I don't know what I've gone to. Maybe a little bit
tell
Irish.
Tell me about it.
But yeah, he. Corbett was the last official owner. But no, I don't know much. That's what I'm hiring you for. Research it. Find out the history for me. What have I got myself in for? See if maybe I can. Do some spin it somehow with a PR and perhaps maybe get this sold on or
no worries. Or how much are you going to pay us?
Yes, $25, sir.
Per hour.
No, that's just upfront for the job.
Per person?
Perhaps depending on what information you cough up after through your investigation.
Yeah, maybe consider it solved. We'll figure it out.
So what in that kind of situation, what you could do is that's where you could make some kind of persuasion roll,
right?
To see whether you could
get cash him out
to get a bit more cash out.
Okay. Of right. I'm seeing this now.
Let's do that. Who's gonna persuade him?
I think it was you. It was Dave Pisswinkle, that piped up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you want me to roll?
So roll your D100. You need to score less than your persuasion.
My persuasion is... Where is my persuasion?
Good question. It's on the right. Persuade. So you've got a score of 50.
Less than 50. Let's have a look. I've got 60.
60. Yeah. So you then have a choice of pushing the roll, which means you can re-roll. Yeah. But if you fail it
we
again,
lose money.
Then it would have... It'd have an adverse effect. He might, you know, basically might not like you. Who knows? Or you could spend 10 luck points for the pass. Or you could just accept, you know, we could just role play now the fact that you, like we just did when he was, you know. Like,
yeah.
It's up to you what you want to do.
I think we can set one 25.
That's fine, yeah. So you said to him, you know, what is that, per person or something?
Yeah.
He's like, no, this is the 1920s, sir. Not $25 is a... Actually, quite a lot of money. I don't know what the conversion rate is, but I'm sure Google and your will figure that out for you. But it's probably the equivalent of about $200 in today's money. Maybe more, $1,000. I don't know.
I wonder how much living in your house safely will cost you. But, you know, fair enough. All right.
Well, consider your case accepted, Mr. Nutt. All we need is the address, and we'll go and investigate for you.
Yeah, so he gives you the address. It's 426 South Street on the Upper East Side. You know where it is. So yeah, so like he said
down.
To you, you know,
yeah, I was writing it down, but it's the big house with the thunder above it,
yeah,
and lightning,
house.
Basically, yeah. The bats circling around it, and it's just like this small little rain cloud over it.
What's the song from Rocky
That's
Horror?
The one.
There's a light.
Oh, shit,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, go on, Emily, how's it going?
I can't explain the crush that she has, even now, on Tim Curry.
Whoa.
Love a bit Tim Curry. He was an attractive man in his young days.
Young days.
I heard a rumour once that he, because he had... like so many people kind of mad for him that he deliberately let himself slip and get fat and stuff like that because he didn't like the attention that he was getting for being attractive. That's a rumor I read or was told. God knows how true that is. I love a bit of Tim Curry. Yeah. Clue. I love Clue. Yeah. I did. Yeah. Yeah, Clue's. I love.
maybe we can do a Clue role play one day.
Cthulhu would work really, really well.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So you've been recommended. Like, he wants to know the history on the place, anything you can dig up in the records. He knows that he were recommended you guys because of your backgrounds, because he knows one's an ex-policeman, one's a journalist with connections.
One's an English teacher.
One's an English teacher. But, like, you know, like, the rumour on the street is that you are the guys to go to when things are a little bit odd, because, you know, people know that you were fired because you were writing articles on the occult. Yeah. And, like, so when it comes to this kind of stuff, they know that you're the people to go to. So the question is where, what do you want to do? Where do you want to go?
We need to dig up some information about this, this house, don't we? So, there was chat about, the library or the newspaper.
Hall of Records.
I think a library is a good place to start, because they're going to have all the documents. And
history of the building, I think, is the way to go.
Yeah.
And there's no... Again, like, imagine this is real life. You're a real life detective agency. Would you, all three of you, go to the library? Or would you go, right, okay, I'm going to go to the library and do this, and then I'm going to go... I've got some links in the police station, so maybe I'll go there, and I've got some links with the local paper, so I can go there,
Is Hall of Records police-based? It is, isn't it?
It's more like a city building.
Yeah,
city-state building.
Well, I can go to the newspaper, because obviously I'm an external or a journalist, so I can go to
the library. Boston, they'll have all
the Boston Records.
So you were recommended Boston Globe, which is the newspaper, Central Library, Hall of Records.
And maybe as an English teacher to research in the library.
Yeah.
You've also got the sanitarium, the Roxbury Sanitarium. I didn't give you that name before. Roxbury Sanitarium, which is where the Vicario family are.
Oh, yeah.
Potentially go and talk to them.
Yeah,
I might go to the library.
Yeah,
and get some documents from there.
I'll go to the Hall of Records,
and I'll go to the Boston Globe.
Okay, well, I think this is probably a good place to end our first episode. But for those of you listening at home, if this ever gets released, that's the end of episode one. Please check back for episode two next week. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll see you soon. As always, roll high and be safe. Hi guys, it's Luke. Very quick intro before the episode starts this week. You're about to hear an advert. Never done this before, but it's basically a favour. A podcast I listen to called The Billowing Hilltop. Great bunch of guys, and I've become quite friendly with their GM, Mike, over the past couple of months as we've been growing and going through this journey together, him with his podcast, us with ours, and I love their show. So they've put a little promo together, and I said I'd play it at the beginning of our show. If you like how they sound, they're similar to us, maybe a bit more serious, but they've got a great little homebrew world. Now, I'd highly recommend checking them out. It's The Billowing Hilltop. Please, please, please do. Once you've finished listening to us, our episode, and you've loved it, and then you've gone and reviewed it, obviously, because, of course, why wouldn't you? Go have a look. Whatever app you're using, Spotify, whatever, have a little search for The Billowing Hilltop and check out my friends. Thank you very much. Enjoy the episode.
We're going to give it another go. It's a bit of zing. Yeah. Ready? Hello.
With a
hello.
No.
Hello.
No, hello.
Wait till I get through the whole thing. Ready? Hello with a billowing hilltop.
Hello.
Oh
dear. Waiting to get through the whole thing.
I thought that was the whole thing.
The whole thing is hello with a billowing hilltop. Okay. That's the whole thing. Yeah?
Okay. I was right.
That pretty much sums up the show. But if you want to find out any more, you can visit us at www.billowinghilltop.com. Is it com? Does anybody know?
.org.
Is it?
.com.
What do we do? What do we play?
There's monsters.
Does anybody remember?
Walking around.
I don't know.
And, yeah.
And we will be delighted if you were to join us around our table as we play Dungeon. Is it 5th edition? Hello?
Yeah, we think so. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. We play Dungeons and Dragons.
In the background?
Sorry, that was me.
What was that noise in the background? There will be noises in the background as we play Dungeons and Dragons 5th edition through the classic Paizo adventure path, The Age of Worms. You can expect this.
No!
Quite a bit of this.
I'm completely lost.
This.
Bleh.
This.
I've got a bugbear in my underpants.
And one of these.
Oh dear.
We're on Apple Podcasts and we're on Spotify and we're on TuneIn and you can find us on Twitter and you can find us on Facebook. And we hope you join us. Thanks very much.
Danger, mystery, intrigue. Think you've heard all that actual play podcasts have to offer? Think again. I'm Nate Peterson. I'm Nate Peterson, the dungeon master for... Yes, Stuart, what can I do for you?
I know naught of this, Stuart. My name is Dweezil Vansafir, the Bard of Bards.
Well, firstly, your name's Stuart and you're from Yorkshire. Secondly, I don't know if you've noticed, I'm trying to record an advert for our show.
Well, firstly, in your parlance, I've never even heard of this Yorkshire. And secondly, if there is a show to be advertised, then surely it should be I, Dweezil Vansafir, to do the advertising.
I wouldn't have thought so. I mean, surely this is a job for me as the Dungeon Master.
Perhaps a, song.
No, I certainly don't think it's time for a song.
Five adventurers, brave and true, strong of will and strong of arm, a band unbreakable through and through, they protect each other from insult and harm. What more persuasion could one require? Tune in to hear our tales.
Dice and Desire. You see, Stuart, words do have power, but certainly not as much power as the Dungeon Master. Join me as I corral my merry band of misfits to Storm King's Thunder every week on Dice and Desire, a 5e actual play podcast.